Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. It's that time of day. It's Saturday morning, and here we go. You know, people say to me sometimes this show is complicated, and they have to listen again and again and again. Well, then mission accomplished, because that's what I want you to do. Because let me tell you, it's complicated. Complicated is when you drink the Kool-Aid and you take the easy way out and it doesn't work, and you spend 10 years spinning around in circles thinking that the simple approach, and I'm going to include today the holistic approach. Sometimes you think dropping that herb into your body's going to cut it, and it doesn't. It doesn't. Very, very often it doesn't. But that's a better choice than the allopathic model, which is going to kill you. So take your choice. Kill yourself with the allopathic model. Today's going to be a perfect example of it. Or look for that simple herb that's going to solve all your problems. Both are panaceas. Neither one of them work. And what you do is you continually tell yourself, if you're in the holistic model, that this is the way to go. But you fall into the same kind of a problem because you don't want to really take the time to understand how your body works. I hope I've drilled that one into you enough over this last year. And irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, gastritis, heartburn are classic examples of the public failing with, one, the allopathic model, and very often with the herbal model, because you don't take the time to understand. You know, IBS is the number two cause of job absenteeism. 200 years ago on the farm, it did not even exist. Now I'm going to make an appeal, as I always do, to your common sense. If we didn't have something 200 years ago and it exists today, how can it be outside anything other than that the environment has changed? So why are we medicating then for this extremely troublesome, often debilitating, even life-threatening condition? And I mean, if you've been told you've got IBS, or you've got Crohn's, or you've got ulcerative colitis, even chronic gastritis, any of these things that represent inflammation within the gastrointestinal tract, this show is for you. But what you have to do is listen to it once or twice, or three times or five times, until you understand what's going on, and then you're going to sit there, and hopefully the dawn of light, okay, will change your perception of the process, and you'll get an easy, quick answer. And I mean 6 months of work. A little anatomy and physiology. Again, we're talking about IBS. Again, IBS is irritable bowel syndrome. When you get this, or you think you get it, and how do you wonder if you've got it? Everything you eat, it bloats you, it gives you gas, you get diarrhea, you get constipation. These people spend years of their life every morning on the toilet for an hour. Some people spend 3-4 hours a day on the toilet. And this goes on and on and on and on and on. We term this IBS. If it's a little worse, we call it Crohn's. If it's a little worse, it's ulcerative colitis, or if it's in a different part of your body. And we'll get into that today. But the point is, the inside of your intestines is rubbed raw, dry, hot, and inflamed. And that's not the way the inside of your intestines is supposed to be. The inside of your esophagus, of your stomach, of your small intestine, of your large intestine. The small intestine is the first part, the duodenum, the second part, the ileum, the second part, the jejunum, the third part, the ileum. And the large intestine is on your lower right side. So take your hand and put it on your lower right-hand side, the lower right quadrant, just above the groin. That's your cecum. That's the place where the 35 feet of small intestine connect to your large intestine. That's the cecum of the large intestine. And if you move up towards your right rib cage, that is the ascending colon. If you go across your belly, right, just below the sternum or just across your solar plexus, that's the transverse colon. And then if you go down the left side below the ribs, that's your descending colon, and then it cuts back towards your buttocks, towards the sigmoid colon, into the rectum, out the anus. That's 40 feet generally of intestine. That intestine, small and large, is supposed to be filled with clean, fresh mucus. It's supposed to have a flow to it, meaning it's not supposed to move and contract so fast that it looks like it's in a convulsion, but it's supposed to flow. It's kind of like a caterpillar. It's kind of like a snake. And we call that caterpillar snake-like motion of the intestines peristalsis. The rate of peristalsis is critical to health within the intestinal tract. What's health within the intestinal tract? Health is you eat it, you swallow it, it disappears in your stomach quickly, it moves on down the 35, 40 feet of tubing, and you feel like it disappears really fast. There's no gas, there's no bloating, it tastes good, you can feel it energize your body, and then the next morning or twice a day or three times a day, you have a good, solid, formed stool. That's good digestion. Do you have that? If you've got any of these things, from IBS down to Crohn's to ulcerative colitis, then the inside of your digestive tract, for whatever reasons, and we're going to get into that, is hot, it's dry, it's inflamed, it's contracting way too fast, and then it's not contracting at all. So you're alternating between diarrhea and constipation, diarrhea and constipation. This is a ludicrous situation. It's ludicrous. To walk into drugstores today, go ahead. Test my little statement here. Walk into a drugstore and look at the first three to even four rows in the drugstore. They're all anti or they're all digestive aids. Stuff to give you a bowel movement. Stuff to stop you from a bowel movement. Stuff to make your heartburn go away. The list is on and on. Each year they add another row. And then, of course, that's the drugstore. Then there's what you have to get a prescription for. There's what you have to see your medical doctor for. And that gets even worse, and we're going to talk about the implications of doing this the wrong way, which is, in this case, the allopathic way. I consider myself a balanced doctor. I don't tell people to stay away from medical doctors. I do not tell people to never do a surgery. We're blessed that medical doctors dispense with pharmaceuticals when it's required and necessary, and when they do surgery, it's required and necessary. And I'm going to keep saying that even though I'm repeating myself, because it's important to drill it into your head. But the bottom line is, when you get something like IBS, the number two cause of absenteeism from work in America today that didn't even exist a couple hundred years ago. Oh, well, maybe it existed and we just didn't know about it. That is stupidity. People knew if they had to sit in an outhouse 2 hours in the morning. They knew that 200 years ago. Doctors were not talking about it. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And sometimes there are these stupid reports, and it's appropriate to use the word stupid to talk about what we thought didn't happen 200 years ago, but actually did. We know where those reports come from? Industry. That's right. We industrialized in this country in the 1700s. By the 1800s, lots of people were being poisoned to death in factories. If you walked into those factories, have you ever heard of the Mad Hatter? The Mad Hatter. That was poisoning that men got from using chemicals when they made hats. I believe it was lead. And that's the point. In the factories where people had chemicals from 1700 on, we saw cancers and we saw other sorts of deteriorations in the body. But out on the farm, where in the 1700s, 90%, 80% of the population was, you didn't see this. So we can say in the 1850s, at the turn of the century in America, usually you did not see IBS. And yes, if it had been that prevalent, we would have noted it. So let's get that one straight too. And that's important because if it wasn't around 150 years ago, it must have changed the environment. Something in our food must have changed. So let me ask you then, why are we medicating this allopathically and psychotically? Why are we doing that? Onward. So, you've got the inside of the gastrointestinal tract, from the esophagus into the stomach, into the small intestine, into the large intestine, and the inner skin of the gastrointestinal tract regenerates. That skin regenerates. The inside of the GI tract, like your skin, like the skin that you itch, regenerates itself. It's highly regenerative. In addition to which, you've got 90% of your immune system there. Now that's a hint. When 90% of your immune system lives in your GI tract, it tells you that that immune system is there to cover the potentially infectious terrain. So you got to remember that one. You know, in neuroanatomy, we call the GI tract the second brain. Now, I want to get into this for a little while. We call this the second brain. Why is that? Why would we call your rectum the second brain? Why would we call your large intestine part of a system that in neuroanatomy we term the second brain? Because if we go in there to your small intestine, to your large intestine, to your anus, and we dissect out and we study the histology, the neuroanatomy, meaning the extensions of your brain into your intestinal tract are so sophisticated that we call it the second brain. What you think, your emotional you, your psycho-spiritual you, is vested in the nerve supply to the intestinal tract. That's a massive statement. You're not going to hear that from your MD. You won't even hear that from most of your holistic practitioners. You know where you hear that from? Your scientists. That word, the neurology into the gastrointestinal tract, derives itself from neuroanatomy. This is hard science. This is not holistic science. This is not made-up science. This is not somebody's perspective. Google it up yourself. Google to the rescue. Always. The second brain. So it thinks. So it's got its own mind. And it's in serious relationship with the mind you call the one on top of your neck. And what does that mean? When the thoughts go negative, when you hold emotion in your body, when the inside you, not the face you show at church on Sunday, the inside you, the you when you're at home alone with your husband or your wife and it's late at night and you can say and do and think whatever you want. That you that exists in your dreams, where nobody, even your significant other, can't know you. That you. That you and whatever that you looks like is sending nerve impulses from the brain down into your second brain. Do you think this could possibly factor in to IBS? Do you think that psyche could be part of this? Well, of course we do. That's not new. Doctors know that. So to do that, we give you Prozac, one of the standard choices if you have ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, irritable bowel syndrome. And yes, doctors today are realizing that stress could play possibly a role in the advent and increase of IBS, etc. We give you Prozac. We give you Zoloft. We give you Paxil. We make you dumb and numb. And then we ask you to drink the Kool-Aid and buy into it. And when you say, gee, my IBS is a little bit better, everybody claps, we give everybody awards, and we all go home happy, except it doesn't work. It mitigates symptoms. And that's not what you're looking for. Tell your friends this. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. You'll need to listen to this show again, especially with what I've got coming down over the next 20 minutes. And listen to the show again on straighttalk.cc. Learn to use that computer. please learn to use the computer. Let's continue. The second brain is a sausage casing. How's that? The second brain is a sausage casing. There's another statement that at first sounds like it's from left field. It is the functional reality of your small intestine. The second brain is a sausage casing. Why? Because what we stuff sausages with. Rather, the casing that we use to make a sausage. You know what that is? It's called small intestine. And yes, we don't use human small intestine. We use the small intestine of animals, of cows. That's how we make sausage. When you have a farm, and we used to have farms, you would go to the back, whack the cow, and make sausage out of its guts. You could take that sausage casing and you could make a balloon out of it. You could probably fill it with helium and go up into the sky. You could trust the integrity. And here's the point. You could trust the integrity of that small intestine. The tissue itself was flexible, pliable, stretchable. It was tough. You ever chew it? Sure, you've had tripe. You know, they used to eat tongue and tripe and sweetbreads and kidney and heart. Back in the old days, when we had clean animals, we'd eat the organs. That's disgusting. That's inhuman. You know, people back then were inhuman. They were evil. We only got really, like, spiritually intelligent since 1950 when we stopped doing that. Yeah. Think about our perception of eating an organ today. You've got this massive movement that thinks it's a disgusting, inhuman thing to do. Really, I think it's the other way around. Really, I do. I think we understood better then how to live in communion with nature than we do today. Think about that one. But tripe, the sausage casing, used to have flexibility. Today, if you talk to people in the feedlots, meaning up on the Highway 5 there, where you ride by and it stinks so bad you can't breathe, and you look out into the distance and there are thousands and thousands of steer all stuck together like bacteria on the wall of your bathroom. And you look at those animals, those are the animals that you don't make sausage casings out of. Because when you touch their small intestines, they tear like toilet paper. Yes, they do. You want medicine? This is medicine. Tell your friends to listen to this show if they want straight talk. Because this is medicine. What runs around is medicine. Whether it's take this herb to fix this, or whether it's take this drug, is for 80% of the people with this stuff nonsense. It doesn't work. You've got to get the understanding. And understand that. The small intestine of most cows is like toilet paper. Well, guess what? Mr. IBS, Mr. Crohn's disease, Mr. Ulcerative colitis, Mr. gastritis, Mr. chronic heartburn, Mr. ileocecal valve issues, Mr. Chronic constipation, like poop once a week for 30 years. Mr. Diarrhea all day long. We take your small intestine out, it's like toilet paper. That's what we ought to be looking at. The number two cause of job absenteeism is caused by the fact that rather than your small intestine and large intestine having the integrity of sausage casing, it has the integrity of toilet paper, which is no integrity whatsoever. That's hard science. Wow. That is hard science. Yes, it is. Can you wrap your mind around that? I think you can. I think even though this may be revelation for you, you can wrap your mind around this. Well, somebody's got to come up with another perspective because it ain't working, is it? If you're listening to the show and you have IBS, I'll bet you've done herbs already for your IBS. I bet you hope that those anti-infectives and those digestive aids would get rid of it. And at best, you're going to tell me it's gotten better. Yeah, there's always going to be one or two out of thousands that'll cure because of an herb. Most, if you've got good herbs, which you guys definitely do, will say it helped. But that's not what you're looking for. If both of your legs are useless, it doesn't help that much that one of them starts to work. You still limp for the rest of your life. In your dream, you're not thinking about limping. You're thinking about sprinting. You're in the game for cure. You will not get cured unless you really, really understand the guts of this. You have to understand your own guts. These are diagnoses of exclusion. Crohn's, ulcerative colitis. Crohn's disease is when the small intestine gets an advanced IBS. There are people that would argue that. Those people really are looking in the wrong direction. Crohn's disease is when the small intestine, from chronic inflammation, those were the days we called it IBS, when the chronic inflammation turns into an ulceration. So the sequence from irritation is inflammation, is ulceration, is suppurative ulceration, meaning your inside of your intestines turns to a bag of pus. This is usually after they've given you so much antibiotic and so much steroid that your days are numbered, and therefore they don't want you to perforate. Meaning, if you infect enough in the intestines, you'll cut a hole in the sausage casing. And since that sausage casing, to get there in the first place, was thinning out and becoming less and less flexible and resilient, it's not a long way to where the inside of that intestine perforates. Once it perforates, the inside of your tube, all the bacteria, all the pathogens spill out into your abdominal cavity. We call this peritonitis. Your intestine, your stomach, your abdomen gets rock hard, and you will die soon. That's what a burst appendix is. So that's the sequence. We should be stopping it originally with the first little bit of inflammation. That's the IBS before you even get the IBS. Everyone that gets IBS, before they got IBS, they ate a meal. Now I want you to check this out. They ate a meal. So check this out. Before they got IBS, the hundreds and thousands and millions of people with IBS, they were sitting there at lunch. They were talking to their friends. They were a bundle of nerves. They wouldn't shut their mouth and chew their food. They just kept yakking. The ham sandwiches and the Taco Bells just went down in big clumps. Or that wonderful chicken Caesar, where we just grill that chicken tasty at 400 degrees Fahrenheit and ruin it as a piece of digestive food. And then we mix it with a salad with fiber in it rough enough to scrape the inside of your intestines, which are already so scraped and raw that you're going to scream when you eat it. And so the chicken Caesar salad with the wonderful toxic mayonnaise goes down your tube while you don't even chew, while you've got all sorts of mental stresses, and you've only got 30 to 45 minutes for lunch anyway to get back to a job you may not like in the first place. And you don't feel so good after you eat your meal. But a message doesn't go to your brain. And a message from your brain doesn't go to your intestines. And that message is supposed to be, hey, I didn't digest my meal correctly. And then the message back to the intestines, hey, let's do something about that. That to and from, that reciprocity between your gut and your brain doesn't work. It doesn't work because another part of you isn't listening. You're not listening to your body. The amount of IBS there should be in this country, if not the world today, is zero. And that's not even optimistic. Quite honestly, it's not optimistic. This is a useless, unnecessary illness. Yeah, you know the flu? I get the flu. Stuff happens. You get exposed, you're tired, you're working hard. But this chronic IBS This is unnecessary. Crohn's is unnecessary. Ulcerative colitis is unnecessary. Anybody that's ever been cut or medicated drank the Kool-Aid. And I have some stories that will definitely amuse you in a moment. But back to the point. The point is, you understand now what the GI tract is. You understand that the inner lining regenerates. You understand that there's an infectious tone to the inside of the GI tract, thus the 90% of your immune system is there. You understand the GI tract as the second brain. You understand the GI tract as sausage casing. You understand that 100 years ago we didn't have this, and you understand why. Right there, you're way ahead of the game. Thank yourself for listening to the show. StraightTalk.cc. They tell me I'm supposed to announce that every 7 to 10 minutes. What I want you guys to do is not call into the show. Get on the email. Comment on as to whether or not I should stop the show every 7 to 10 minutes to announce who I am. I don't like doing it, quite frankly. But people in radio say you're supposed to do that. So I constantly get annoyed to do that. I want to give you straight talk. So you let me know if you appreciate it. If it doesn't make a difference, well, then I'm going to stop every 10 minutes and say, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is straighttalk.cc. Somehow I think America wants more than that. I hate these commercials on these shows. They're necessary. Yes, they are. Shows cost money. You have to understand that in the public sector. You may work for a bank. You don't understand these shows cost dough. But do you want to hear me announce myself every 10 minutes? Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid by not doing that. So I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to talk to you, the public. You're why I exist. So comment. Would it really bother you if I stopped? Now, don't talk to me about how much I repeat myself. That I will not stop doing until everyone is listening. To learn what I've learned, I had to see these things time and time and time again. I truly understand. How could you have this perspective from your vantage point when you're a CPA or a lawyer? Onward, men. Now, these are diagnoses of exclusion. That's all they are. Fibromyalgia is a diagnosis of exclusion. Fibromyalgia, another massive issue in the United States today, just means your muscles ache. It's like walking into a medical doctor and saying, Doctor, my head hurts. And the doctor walks out of the room, and 2 hours later, after he goes to a convention, researches it on the computer, talks to all his friends, talks to his old professors, comes back and says, Mrs. Smith, the pain in your head is what we call a headache. And then you walk out happy because you have a diagnosis. That's how dumb it is, but that's what you're being told. I get it every week. People come in. The doctor told me I have gastritis. This is a person that's been vomiting 2 times a week for the last year. Finally, they get up the guts, pardon the pun, to go into the MD, and the MD tells them, and they tell me, the doctor said I have gastritis. They don't even... Oh. If you're listening, because it's you, all these itises, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, these are diagnoses of exclusion. They don't mean anything. The physiology means something. So, what happens if, in fact, you're chronically inflamed and you begin to ulcerate? Meaning the IBS gets really, really bad. What do we do if it gets really, really bad? Well, the problem if it gets really bad, meaning you ulcerate, you start to bleed. One, you can have chronic anemia. Then you have low tissue oxygen because you're bleeding too much, and that perpetuates it. That anemia or borderline anemia often goes unrecognized in these colitis-type situations. It becomes the secondary problem that makes sure you sustain the illness. So one, you got to stop the anemia if you're bleeding. Number two, once you're starting to bleed and ulcerate, you're going to infect. You're going to infect. And that's the best place in the world to infect. Remember I said 90% of your immune system is there. Why? because the immune system is overloaded with work to do. So you give it one little reason to infect the inside of your small intestine, and it's going to infect. If it infects, now we start to develop what? Intelligences in our gut. There's another brain growing. This is exciting, isn't it? There's another brain growing inside your second brain. And that brain is a microbial brain. It's an intellect, a virus, parasite, bacteria. How did you get them? Where did they come from? No. You couldn't get that. Guys, they live there. They're in you. They're in GQ models. They're in people that look like roses that the public says is the standard for the species. Ha ha. But nonetheless, we think that because we look good on the outside, we can't have little residual animals floating around on the inside. Beautiful people don't have that. Yes, they do. And if you give even beautiful people an intestinal tract that's ulcerated, these little residual microbes start to talk to each other. They start having parties. They start mutating. And now you have not just an infection, you don't have infectious colitis, infectious Crohn's, infectious IBS. Well, there must be infection because in the allopathic model, we use antibiotics and anti-inflammatories. So somebody knows there's infection there. Sure they do. So I can't be imagining this. There's these relationships going on inside your intestines, and they're talking to each other, and they're inflaming you even more, and they're shredding up your intestines even more, and now they're ruining your digestion even more while you're defecating relentlessly all day long, watery diarrhea or chronic constipation or both in the same hour. And while this relationship's going on between all these microbes, the drugs are coming to the rescue. They are. So don't worry. We have wonderful antibiotics to fix this stuff. Or we have wonderful anti-infective herbs to fix this stuff. Yeah, the holistic model's a little weak too sometimes. We have wonderful anti-infective drugs, whether they're nature's drugs or whether they're synthetic drugs, to come to the rescue. And you know what these bugs do? They laugh because they're smarter than we are. By smarter, I don't mean they do better on their SAT exams. I don't mean they have higher IQs. I mean they are more biochemically adaptable. There is a biochemical adaptability in the intestinal tract, which is competing with the microbe and what you do to beat the microbe. So we're changing the rules constantly, and whoever can adapt faster wins. Guess who wins? The microbe. Most of the time, the microbe wins. And you already figured out what I'm about to say, because now we're moving into the infection becoming a biofilm. Now you have a cocoon, a mucopolysaccharide sac of snot, protecting these infections while you're ulcerating. Now all chaos breaks loose. Drop the bomb, because it's going off inside your intestinal tract. So what do? We give you more prednisone. Now why do we do that? Because you have inflammation and you feel a little better. Short term you do. Then we give you antispasmodics, stuff to stop the diarrhea. Now you don't have to worry about it. Your intestines are like a rock. That's like saying that the walk into a room and 20 people are having a fight. And what you do, because you're part of the police department, is you tell the 20 people having a fight to stop fighting, and you force them to stop fighting. And then you walk away as if that's going to fix the problem. It paralyzes the problem. It temporarily restores order from chaos. So sometimes if you got the big speech the next day or you're getting married, it's good to do drugs. They're wonderful in acute situations. But long term, what happens to that group of 20? They become 60 and more hostile. And this is exactly what happens in your intestinal tract. You take the dicyclosaclamine, you take the hyoscyamine, you take the anticholinergic drugs, you take the antibiotics, you take the steroids. And whether you're trying to stimulate motility, meaning make a constipated person go, say with Zelnorm, or whether we're working it the other way, trying to stop the diarrhea, short term it can work. You can live that way for a year or two, but the infections grow. They keep growing. And finally, they eat their way through the lining of your intestinal tract. And then we give you IV antibiotics. And you take them because you're desperate, because you're close to perforation. By the time they're giving you IV antibiotics for these problems, you're close to perforation. And then you turn around without now any flora, any good probiotic in your body. And you perforate anyway. And that's the story of how allopathic medicine deals with everything from IBS to Crohn's to ulcerative colitis, so on and so forth. What about the second brain? What about altering the diet, which we'll get into? What about the fact that your structural body, the way your body is aligned, might be twisting your intestines? What about that? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Number one, before you get sick, you're listening to your body. If that food is not going down into your stomach and moving into your small intestine and moving into your large intestine and being digested easily and being digested in a way where you just feel strong from the food, no gas, no bloating, no heartburn, no nothing, something's wrong. Stop it there. Once you're inflamed, I assure you, you want to fix this in yourself? You want the easy way to do this? Well, you've already heard me say it 1,000 times. Get off carbohydrates. Shows 6. I did show 6. Show 17. Show 24. All on diet. Check my archives, straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. You need to hear this. And figure out how to go on the paleo diet, on the primal diet. Figure that out. I'm going to leave it to you. But learn to live without carbs, which is a whole process I'm not going to get into. Because carbs make poison. They turn the intestinal tract to glue, G-L-U-E, more for some than others. And study the other shows for the chemistry behind that. Number two, your meats, your animal protein, which you need to regenerate the integrity of those intestines. If you're cooking it, you're going to hurt yourself more because anytime you put a food like a grain, gluten or not, like a grain, and you don't have magnificent digestion, you make a byproduct called lactic acid. As the bacteria in your body digest the food, or at least attack it, you make lactic acid. That lactic acid will give you more inflammation. So when you cook the meat, when you don't eat your organic, grass-fed, you mainly killed. Yes, you mainly killed. For those of you who can't wrap your mind around the fact that animals can be killed humanely, I'm going to tell you a little story, a little two-minute story. This was given to me by one of my professors at Long Beach a number of years ago, who took his doctorate in American history with a specialty on the North American Indian. And he talked about the Indians that used to go to Manhattan thousands of years ago to hunt. And Manhattan was so fertile, and Manhattan is so fertile. That's why it's Manhattan. It was so fertile that you could hunt there for a week and get all the food you needed for a full winter if you knew what you were doing. So the Indians, Algonquin, Mohawk, Iroquois, the Indians would go into the steamhouse and they'd sweat and they'd sweat and they'd sweat to get the smell out of their body, the human smell that the deer, etc., could smell. And when they were smell-free, they would go on the hunt and they would sit there in the wilderness in meditation with nature. And the idea was they would come upon the animal and the animal would offer itself to them. It wasn't a hunt. It wasn't a bunch of men on a horse with high-powered rifles cornering an animal up in a tree, outnumbering them 1,000 to 1 with dogs and every other thing, and blasting this animal fighting for its life. It wasn't about crowding hundreds and thousands of animals into a room together where, like pigs, they know you're coming before you know you're coming and giving them IBS because you're about to cannibalize them. It wasn't about that. It was about a relationship with nature where you would beg the great creator to have the animal offer itself to you. And you would take that animal down with your arrow, with your skill. And then you would do your version of prayer over that animal. And you take that animal up on your back and you'd bring it back to the tribe, you and your partners. And you couldn't eat your own kill. You would distribute what you killed. You would distribute it to the sick and then to the old and then to the children and then to the women. And you couldn't eat your own kill. You would be fed by your fellow hunter. You couldn't eat what you killed. You had to live off the benevolence of your fellow hunter. And this was their social system. And based on the most benevolent hunter, the most skilled and benevolent hunter, you would be elected chief when you were old enough and mature enough and your testosterone levels were low enough. And that is how they lived in communion with those animals. I think the meat they ate is better than even the best organic grass-fed meat that we eat, don't you? Well, when I say meat, I mean that kind of meat. Find it. It's out there. I don't want to get into it. Listen to the shows. There are farms throughout the United States today that love their animals. This is coming back, and it's spreading. I didn't say eat the meat at Ralph's Rare, at Vons, at Lucky's, at Albertson's. I didn't say to eat the fish raw that's got red dye number 3 in it. Right? You see that? It's on sale at Ralph's today for $3.99 a pound. Farm-raised salmon. And we have to color it just for you. I don't know what to say. Somebody help me. Yeah, I know it's a money thing. It's not a money thing. You don't really know what you're doing. You wouldn't drink poison. You wouldn't pay to drink poison. Why pay to eat stuff that you just can't believe is poisonous? You just won't believe that kind of food is poison fast before you eat that kind of garbage. So we're talking about animal protein done rare or fermented like jerky. Now you're going to add that to the fats. The fats are anti-inflammatory. All your fats, your avocado fats, your olive fats, your coconut fats, the fat from fish, the fat from eggs. Yeah, we can talk about the omegas, and we can talk about docosahexaenoic acid, DHA, and we can talk about all sorts of neat, nifty little chemical words. But here's the bottom line. The raw fat, that means not heated, that goes into your body functions as an anti-inflammatory. And these raw foods come equipped with chemicals, enzymes to digest themselves so they don't need to do yours. So you get off the carbs and you get into the raw meats and the raw fats. And that's what we call the paleo diet, the primal diet. Weston Price's ketogenic diet. You do that if you have these things. And then you take it another step. And then what you do is you divide your foods if you're out there and you're in a bad way with any one of these ailments. You take your foods and you divide them into green light foods, yellow light foods, and red light foods. If you've got an ulcerative Crohn's in the small intestine or an ulcerative colitis in the large intestine, and you eat steamed broccoli, you may scream. You may actually scream from pain because fiber. So again, we said raw food, but the fiber in raw vegetables, the fiber sometimes in raw fruits can irritate your ulcerated body. So even though those raw vegetables may be good for you, salads, etc., you may have to cook them well, steam them well, boil them, turn them into soups, puree them, put them in the BlendTec juicer to break up the fiber so you can get more nutrition. And if you're doing juice for IBS, etc., the juice, unless it's from a CellTech, meaning something that breaks up the fiber, and yet you'd still drink the fiber, if you have juice, you may find yourself on the short end of the stick, because once you're really inflamed, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, gastritis, those foods may scrape the inside of your intestines and inflame you even more. So you got to be careful with raw. But the public thinks raw means raw vegetables, raw nuts, raw seeds. It doesn't mean that. Not as I'm using it. And there's ways to work with nuts and seeds and so on and so forth. And this isn't the real intention of the show to teach a cooking class today, because I've given you enough of that. And it's out in the books. Get Sally Fallon's Nourishing Traditions. Anything from Weston Price, the ketogenic diet. Try the paleo diet. Only the addition, if you get the paleo diet, that I want to add is eat your meat rare or raw. And it's the same thing for the fish. Sushi, sashimi, ceviche. Yeah, a little white rice. You'll live with it. Don't worry. Cut your carbs to 10 or 15%. Don't be dogmatic. If you do that, you're going to start listening to your body, unless you're on Prozac or Wellbutrin or Zoloft or Paxil, and then you're numb and dumb, so you can't feel anything down there anyway. Then they got you. How are you going to dig yourself out of it on the drug? But if you're not, and hopefully you're not, you're going to put your foods into green light, which means you digest them easily and pleasantly, and wow, my IBS isn't so bad when I eat that food. Then eat more of that food. That sounds so obvious, doesn't it? It's not, because that's not what people do. I assure you it's not what people do. If people were sensitized enough to their bodies, there would be no IBS, because they'd listen. But they sit there and they cry and they feel bad after the allopathic model failed, and they feel bad after the $50 they spent on the herb that was supposed to promise them the cure failed, as it does almost all the time. And then they're left with dejected, depressed issues, and it starts to become a psycho game. And there was a lot of stress already. So they're not in a place where they're really listening to their body in the first place. Question is, can you eat a meal and truly understand in your body, in your experience, what good food tastes like? Okay. Now, herbs. You could do herbs. And a whole group of herbs sedate and soothe the hot, fiery inside of your intestinal tract. And one of them is aloe. Aloe arborescens. This is almost across the board a winner. It will help you. You will feel better on it. And yes, digestive enzymes, good ones, and you know where to get good ones. That's another huge help. But the aloe is cooling. The aloe purges fire. The aloe is an anti-inflammatory. along with the ghee, G-H-E-E, clarified butter. You can buy organic ghee in your health food store. Use ghee. Don't use butter. Use ghee. Because ghee will put the fire out. These problems, IBS, etc., are inflammatory conditions. So you're going to eat with a lot of ghee. And all those fats are anti-inflammatories. Now, the infections. If you have an infection, if you're pretty sure you have an infection, if somebody told you you have an infection, and by the time it's chronic, you may have an infection. The real problem is it's a biofilm. But if you know you're infected, you can take lots of anti-inflammatory herbs, anti-infective herbs, Holarena antidysenterica, black walnut hull, pumpkin seed. And you guys know where to go to get those. Products like Parastat, Paracetamol. These are wonderful anti-infective herbs. And if you can handle them, you should take them. But if you don't really make the more fundamental changes, those herbs are going to create spasm in your intestinal tract. So they may help, and then you're going to go into spasm, and you're going to be back where you started from, even though you've got very high-quality product. That's what you suffer when you don't take care of the fundamentals. And yes, sleep is a fundamental. If you're sleeping 5 and you needed 7, you're hurting yourself. Why? Because when you sleep, you make your cortisol. Your cortisol is your body's anti-inflammatory, not prednisone. Prednisone is a horrid drug. Great short term. Do it. Inject it short term. But long term, it's a disaster. And your doctors won't even let you take it long term because they know what a disaster it really is. So where is your cortisol? It's from sleep. Now the next thing you have to think in terms of is your psyche and your structure. Tons and tons of these situations persist because people do not understand that when they're not flexible, there's a muscle underneath your guts called the psoas muscle, P-S-O-A-S, the psoas muscle. And that muscle shortens and pushes out towards your belly button and crushes your guts. Come on. Can you please wrap your head around this? Do I have to say it every show? Can you understand that if you're not flexible in your quadriceps, your thighs, and your psoas under your guts displaces anteriorly, it will crush your intestines? Why are we talking about herbs or drugs or what to do about it when there is a physical compression of the intestinal tract? That's just common sense. So you have to get flexible, structurally aligned, like the belly dancer, like the break dancer. Hey, does this sound like the sacral pump? Could it be that what you have to do for the prostate, you have to do for your intestines? Could it be that what you have to do for your prostate and your intestines, you have to do for your genitals? Could it be? Could it be that there's a way to live that allows you to, I don't know, kill two birds with one stone? Take care of many things through a lifestyle. Or no, what we ought to do is talk about the prostate, talk about the genitals, talk about your sex drive, talk about your digestive tract. And we'll do different things for all these different things. Because that's what we like. We like to be entertained. We like to feel special. What do I need to do for my ulcerative colitis? I need something contoured for me. See, you drank the Kool-Aid. All cure for all things is about 75% the same for everybody. Oh, do we hate to hear that? It means we're not special. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. You are special. if you've got the capacity to heal your body, you're special. If you've got the guts to dig yourself out of the trench, you're special. And yes, how you integrate all these important things is what makes you special. You may sleep well. The other guy with ulcerative colitis may not. You may eat sushi or rare fish. The other person may not. So on and so forth. You may be infected. The other person may not. You may be flexible but holding emotion. The other person may not hold emotion, but they may not be flexible. So how you vary these things person to person is really the ticket. And last but not least, your psyche. Your GI tract is a bundle of tubes. And those tubes have sphincters. And those sphincters are wired into your brain. Get to the school. The Medici Institute for Advanced Nutritional Education. Call Clemelita, 310-320-1132. If this show doesn't move you, you might be dead. 310-320-1132. Call Clemelita. I've got 10 spaces for my third class. Get to it. The inner skin of your intestines regenerates. It's your second brain. It should have the integrity of a sausage casing, not toilet paper. If you use anti-inflammatories, if you use anti-spasmodics, if you use antidepressants, you'll never go intuitive. If you go intuitive, you can put your foods into the green light, yellow light, red light. And if you do that, my advice is to go primal, go ketogenic, go paleo. Cook your fruits and vegetables if, in fact, they irritate you. And I think that's it for today. We always need more time. Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Hear the show again. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.